Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and my very special guest today is Tony Isabella, the creator of DC Comics character Black Lightning. And he's had a busy 2016, 2017, 2018, so we're not going to take up too much of his time, but welcome to the show, Tony.
Welcome, thank you.
Now, I was an avid comics reader in the 80s and 90s, and I never knew Black Lightning had his own title. I just remember, I have literally vague memories of him from The Outsiders. So tell us, I know because a lot of people are looking forward to the CW show coming up in just a few weeks. How did Black Lightning come to life?
Well, I had been working on various black characters at Marvel. Working on characters of color was a passion of mine, because when I was growing up in Cleveland, which was a heavily segregated city, my first black friends were comic book fans. And at an early age, I thought, that's just not fair that there aren't more black heroes. DC hired me away from Marvel, and one of the things they wanted me to do was work on a black superhero for them. Unfortunately, they had already created a black superhero, kind of. They had commissioned two scripts of a character called the Black Bomber. And the short version is, this is a white racist who took part in chemical camouflage experiments in Vietnam to allow him to blend into the jungle better. The experiments did not show any effect on him in Vietnam. When he got home, he would from time to time turn into a black superhero. He was not aware that he did this. The black superhero was not aware he was really a white racist. They each had girlfriends who saw the transformations and somehow never managed to bring it up. I know that if my, significant other suddenly went through a drastic change like that, then I'd probably ask a question or two. As the white racist in these two scripts, he, in both of them, saves somebody he can't see clearly and is horrified when he finds out he risked his life to save a black person. In fact, in one case, when he rescues a baby in a baby carriage and finds out the baby is black, he says, and this was in the script, swear to God, you mean I risked my life for a jungle bunny?
Oh, my God.
If this wasn't offensive enough, and it is offensive enough, his uniform, his superhero suit was basically a basketball uniform. I told DC, DC wanted me to punch up these two scripts and then start writing the character with the third issue. I said, no. And I told him, you cannot publish these scripts. And they go, why? Because they are offensive. People will come to your offices with pitchforks and torches. And they go, how could you know that? And I go, I'll be leading them. So we argued about this for a couple of weeks until I boiled it down to one question. Do you really want DC's first major black superhero to be a white racist? And they realized that, oh, yeah, I guess that would be wrong, and gave me a couple of weeks to create Black Lightning. I created Jefferson Pierce first. And knew everything about Jefferson Pierce. He was a school teacher because every kid knows who a school teacher is. He was an Olympic athlete because he needed to have the physical skills to fight organized crime. Everything about the character was created before I came up with his superhero identity. And that came about because I saw a Wonder Woman cover. It was probably a cover rough, in which she was lassoing a black lightning bolt and saying something like, Hera, help me stop this black lightning bolt from destroying the city. And I thought the phrase black lightning was pretty catchy. So I decided that would be Jefferson Pierce's superhero identity and then built his electrical powers around that name.
I'm still flabbergasted that no one at DC thought that the black bomber was a bad idea when the first part of white racist came out of somebody's mouth.
I think they were trying to do a takeoff of the Godfrey Cambridge movie, The Walk.
Oh.
I don't think this was a deliberate offense. It's just that they didn't figure it out. They didn't know better. But I was glad I was able to keep the Black Bomber from being published and then bring Black Lightning to the comics.
Just that's unreal. So Black Lightning, from my reading, originally debuted in 1977.
January 4th.
Wow.
Is when the first issue came out.
How much of a story did you plan for his arc for that series?
Back then, we didn't plan story arcs. We just kind of, worked to meet the next deadline. You basically asked yourself, what can I do interesting this issue? How can I move the character forward? Have I reached a point in the story where there has to be an issue that makes a significant change, whether it be killing off a supporting character or finally defeating Tobias Whale? We didn't think in terms of story arcs in the 1970s. We thought in terms of, the next issue. We might have plans for several issues worth of stories, but we didn't think in terms of story arcs.
So it really was more like real episodic TV back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What for you was the most fun in bringing this character to life, to actually getting it on the shelves to people?
Besides the fact that this was the first, I created some characters at Marvel, but this was the one I really felt I owned, that I had done a good job, really good job with, that could be my signature character. I always expected Black Lightning would go far. I didn't expect it would take 40 years for him to get this far. But I always thought he should be right up there with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. I always thought he should be a TV series. I tried to sell Black Lightning comic strip at one point. I always thought the character had great potential. And over the years, I've come to realize how much this character means to people. Every year I go to the East Coast Black Age of Comics convention in Philadelphia, which is a convention built around characters of color, creators of color, and their fans. And people will come up to me and basically hug me because Black Lightning was the first comic book they ever bought for themselves, because it was the first time they ever saw themselves in a comic book. So my pride in creating this character that has endured and is beloved is measured by the, quite frankly, great responsibility of having created this character and working on this character. He means an awful lot to a lot of people. Black Lightning is so much bigger than Tony Isabella.
And I don't remember exactly when I saw it, but that he was actually in the Justice League for like half a minute.
In the 70s, he was asked to join the Justice League and turned them down. And then, I want to say around 2000 or so, he was added to the Justice League. My only problem with Black Lightning interacting with characters like Superman and Batman and the like is that there's a tendency to make him subservient to those characters. Just as there's a tendency to make almost any other hero subservient to those characters, but that's not what I ever wanted for Black Lightning. And as long as I'm writing him in the comic books, he will never be subservient to any superhero again.
And I get the feeling that he could match Batman anger for anger.
Well, yeah, I mean he's a black male in an America that's become increasingly racist and openly so. If I were Jefferson Pierce, I'd be angry all the time. So yeah, he can match Batman on anger, but it's because of the world around him and not specific things that have happened to him personally. A city where a 12-year-old boy was murdered by policemen, and they got away with it. So that's all, that all informs my current work on Black Lightning, just as it informs the TV series.
Now, there's a new limited series called Black Lightning, Cold Dead Hands. The first two issues are already out, right?
First three issues. The third issue came out this week.
Okay. And how are any of the series that you've written going to tie in to the TV series, or are they? Or is this, the series
They're
is
not.
Totally separate?
Here's the way this works. Both the TV series and my current comic book series are informed by what I like to call Black Lightning's core values. When DC and I first started discussing renewing our relationship, correcting some past wrongs, the first thing they asked me to do was to write a paper on Black Lightning's core values. And that paper was kind of the starting point for the TV series and for my own current series. The current comics and the TV series are different in that the TV series has an older Black Lightning, an older Jefferson Pierce. He's got grown daughters. He's the principal of a high school. Whereas told I could do whatever I wanted with the comic book, the new comic book series, I kind of threw out 40 years of continuity. And so I'm writing a Black Lightning who's younger than any version of the character I've written before. He's around 28 years old. Whereas previous versions of Black Lightning that I've written, he did not have a family. He does have a family. He's not married, so he doesn't have daughters or anything, although the equivalent of those daughters will appear in the comic book series. He lives in Cleveland, my hometown, because I wanted to bring that kind of realism to the series. But both series are informed by those core values. Both series deal with real-world issues. I like to tell people, I love all the CW series, superhero series.
Mm-hmm.
Green Arrow, Supergirl, Flash, Legends, they're great. They're edgy, but they're edgy in a fantasy way. Black Lightning is edgy in a real-world way.
Okay, now... Since the series is separate from the comics, tell us about the current series, Cold Dead Hands.
Well, in Cold Dead Hands, Black Lightning Jefferson Pierce has returned to his hometown of Cleveland. He's been off the superhero grid for a couple of years. He and his father, who has just recently passed away, came back to Cleveland so that his father could spend his last years with their family and with their friends from Cleveland. His father has passed, and circumstances propel him to take up the mantle of Black Lightning again. Those circumstances being a rash of what we call sci-fi guns turning up in the city of Cleveland and wrecking all sorts of havoc on the city. He comes into a city that's racially charged, where, like in too many big cities, the cops have a them versus us mentality, and everyone who's not one of us is them. So there are situations in there where that kind of departmental racism comes into play. It is not an anti-cop book. There are heroic cops in this series. Jefferson Pierce's best friend is Cleveland's best police detective, a woman who basically is a sister to him. I think there's a balance. I think there's a fairness in the portrayal of the police officers, but we don't shy away from the problems Black communities and other minority communities have with the police. So we're trying to do superhero stories in a real world setting. And it's not going to be an exact match because we don't have superheroes in the real world. We don't have alien weapons in the real world. But it's a mix. It's a mix of the DC universe and the real world.
So you've got like a current day setting with a younger hero
Black Lightning.
who's right. not, who maybe isn't as jaded by experience.
He's angry because, of course, the times he lives in make for that. But he is, I think, smarter than any version of the character I've written before, in that he's always figuring out new ways to use his powers. He's more thoughtful in the actions he takes. He's just smarter and better at this than the previous versions I've written, which is not to take anything away from the previous versions. I loved writing those, and they have their fans, and I appreciate those fans. But I wanted to do something different. I'm not one of those guys who feels that I have to write something exactly the same way I wrote it before. I've written two other Black Lightning series, one in the 70s and one in the 90s. And my 90s series wasn't like my 70s series, and this series isn't like either of those two series. Still the same core values. And of course, one of the advantages I have with this new series is that I have never worked with a creative team as good and as dedicated as this creative team. Our artist, Clayton Henry, is knocking it out of the park every page. He can do the real world stuff. He can do the human drama stuff. He can do the superhero stuff. Peter Pantazis, who's our colorist, is doing amazing work. Jim Chadwick and Harvey Richards, my editors, give me the best notes that I have ever gotten on my scripts from any editor. But they're not carved in stone. You know, they give me their notes. We discuss them. And I'm free to basically make the changes that I feel are good for the series. And I've done quite a bit of rewriting on the issues I've written because they've come up with good questions and good ideas. So it's very much a team effort. And as I said, I'm just in awe of the members of this team.
Are there any plans to do like another limited series or maybe like a one-shot graphic novel every now and then?
Well, I am finishing up. I'm currently working on issue 6. And after I finish that, I will be pitching DC on a number of Black Lightning projects. I'm hoping to reinvent the ongoing series. I want to do something with an ongoing series that no comic book has ever done before. And that's when I say I'm pitching multiple Black Lightning projects to DC. But quite frankly, I'd like to see them all appear under the title Black Lightning, hopefully starting with issue number 7. Because, you know, I'm tired of all these number ones and limited series and renumberings and so I just assume that the next Black Lightning comic I write, no matter what form it takes, is issue number 7, and that we continue on from there, no matter what is in the comic book. Hopefully, you know, the reaction to the Black Lightning comic book has been very good. I expect the TV series, which I've seen the first episode of, is going to be a huge hit. And I'm hoping that allows me, and especially me, to do Black Lightning comic books until the day where I can no longer move my arthritic hands over the keyboard and look at my monitor. Hopefully quite a few years away.
Hopefully. Because I actually fell out of comics because it was so hard to keep up with the crossovers and the spin-off series and the changes in numbering later. I'm like, really? And it's so hard. They make it so hard for new people to get interested in following the comics. Like they see a movie, they fall in love with the characters. Like, well, hey, where can I go read more about this character in the comic book? And there's literally 200 dozen choices. And you're like, okay, I'll just go back to the movies or the cartoons. Thanks. And it would be so much simpler if you had something where you'd come out with three or four graphic novels, like 150 pages, 160 pages, like every year. You'd have four one-shots or four graphic novels, make that 1 year, one story, you're done with it. Do it the next year, different story. Just something to make it easier for people to catch up or keep up, you know?
Well, I start every issue of Black Lightning has a bit of introductory copy that leads into the Black Lightning logo. And that is basically the essence of the character boiled down to about two lines of copy. And I'm not saying that a new reader will get everything that's going on in the book, but I certainly am trying to write this book for the smarter readers who pay attention more, and they will be able to follow it and hopefully fall in love with the character and the supporting cast and want to see what happens next.
Excellent. So how would you like to see Black Lightning expand beyond this TV series if it's successful? Would you like to see him appear in his own cartoon or as a guest in a Justice League cartoon if that ever came about? What are your visions for Black Lightning in other media?
Oh, I'd love to at some point write a Black Lightning novel. I would love to do a Black Lightning newspaper strip for several years. I ghosted newspaper comic strips for cartoonists, and so I'm familiar with that medium and would like to do a Black Lightning comic strip. I think the TV show is going to be around for a long time, and the writers of the show who I've met with have encouraged me to pitch an episode for the second season. I'd love to see a Black Lightning movie. Wouldn't mind seeing Black Lightning guest starring with the Justice League if they treated him with the proper respect. I could see Black Lightning in almost any kind of medium there is. Cartoons, movies, TV. If people were still doing radio drama, yeah, I could see that. To my mind, there's no limits to this character. From the moment I created him, I felt he should take the DC big three of Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman and make it the big four. And I still feel that way today.
Well, there are plenty of audio drama podcasts out there that you might attract DC's attention with that. But what's the attraction for the comic strip? I mean, would you do this on the web? Because the print space for comics is diminished, but I could see that as a really cool web comic.
Well, yeah, I could see that too. I would prefer being in the newspapers just because, I'm an old guy. I'm 66 years old. I like newspapers. Even the crappy right-wing newspapers I have in this neck of the woods. And I love comic strips in newspapers, although I do tend to read those online just because I can see, they're bigger on my screen. A syndicated script, I'd like to be in the newspapers. And, of course, if you're in the newspapers, you're also online because all of those newspaper strips are also online. Obviously, I'd like to get paid for this sort of thing, and I know online comic strips don't often bring in big paychecks. And that's what it comes to. I mean, I love writing Black Lightning. I want to write Black Lightning till the day I die. I'd also like to get paid for writing Black Lightning till the day I die, because that's what makes it possible for me to write Black Lightning. The bills have to be paid. Mm-hmm. My family has to be taken care of.
Well, I have two final questions for you. One, I know there's a lot of confusion and a lot of maybe a little tiny bit of frustration how people keep connecting Static Shock with Black Lightning. Have you ever wondered where that combination came from? It's like, who thought this up? Who thought this was connected?
Somewhere along the line, electrical powers and black superheroes seem to have been joined at the hip. It started when Hanna-Barbera basically stole Black Lightning and created Black Vulcan, and then Static, the character Static from Milestone, and I think there have been a few other black heroes who had electrical powers. I'm a big fan of the Static Shock, of the Static comics done by Milestone and the Static Shock TV show that my, you know, good friend Dwayne McDuffie worked on. But I don't want to see Black Lightning and Static Shock together. I love both characters, but my fear is that if you put them together, Black Lightning could get reduced to the role of mentor, or Static could get reduced to the role of sidekick. And that's demeaning to both of these great characters. I know the fans are eager to see Black Lightning teamed up with everybody. You know, the frustrating questions are, is Static Shock going to be in Black Lightning? And is Black Lightning part of the Arrowverse? And my preference would be no to both of those. I understand that it's probably inevitable that there'll be some sort of crossover with the Arrowverse that Black Lightning appears in. I know that that's not happening in the first season. But yeah, I think Black Lightning can stand on his own. And I think Static can stand on his own. And certainly the success of the Arrowverse shows that they can stand on their own. So yeah, I mean, I know the fans love massive team-ups and crossovers and epics. That's just not where my head is.
After all is said and done, how would you want Tony Isabella to be fondly recalled by comic book fans 50 years from now in terms of just what you've created, what you wanted to get done, and what you wanted Black Lightning to do?
I would like to think that I'm still remembered as a comic book writer who always gave every job his all, who always tried to entertain and educate his readers. I'd like to think Black Lightning will still be around 50 years from now, but hopefully not dealing with the same problems we're dealing with now. Really, I've had a pretty good career. I've gotten to work with the people who got me into comics, people like Stan Lee and Jack Kirby. I know that there are so many Black Lightning fans out there, as well as fans of the other things I've done. I feel pretty good. I feel like, you know, if this all stops, you know, this year, I've still amassed a pretty good career with a lot of good work in it, and I hope I'm remembered for that. Because a whole lot of really great creators are not remembered properly, are not respected properly. And one of the things I do on my Facebook page is every day I post about 20 or 30 posts celebrating birthdays of comics and other creators, because I think it's important to remember them. So, yeah, I think I'd like to think I'll be remembered fondly in 50 years. I'd like to think I'll still be alive in 50 years, maybe in my new robot body.
There you go.
But, I mean, I don't really worry about that. I sit down every day and I do my work, and I do it with clean hands, open heart, and all the skill and creativity I can bring to it. At the end of the workday, if I've done that, it's been a good day.
Awesome. So where can our listeners and fans, and hopefully your new fans, find out more about your work in Black Lightning? You said you had a Facebook page. Is there?
I have three Facebook pages. I have the Tony Isabella page. You know, I have my personal Facebook page under the name Tony Isabella. There is a group called the Official Tony Isabella Message Board page, which is a holdover from an earlier online page. There's the First Church of Godzilla page, because I am the pastor of the First Church of Godzilla, and monster movies are my second love. They can also see me almost every day. Well, they can see me on Twitter, at the Tony Isabella. And also I do an almost daily blog called Tony Isabella's Bloggy Things. Singular, Tony Isabella's Bloggy Thing. And I do all sorts of stuff in there. I write about old comics. I write about new comics. I write about movies. I write about TV. I write about politics. It's my place to write about whatever I feel like writing about. So yeah, if they Google me, they will find out I am the poster child for online access.
Well, I will include a few links to those so people can find you. And sir, when you're less busy, you and I are going to have a monster movie conversation, because monster movies is also one of my favorite things in all the world.
Well, you should check my blog out, because I reviewed an awful lot of monster and horror movies over the past few years.
I will definitely include a link to that and have to go find an entertaining read for myself. Well, thank you again for your time today, Tony. Tony Isabello, the creator of Black Lightning, the limited series Black Lightning Cold Dead Hands, is currently in comic book stores and available, I'm guessing, also on Comixology?
I guess so.
And also, Black Lightning will be appearing on the CW later, this, I think, January 18th?
January 16th at 9 o'clock, with an encore presentation on January 19th.
Will you be live tweeting along with the premiere?
No.
Oh.
I don't type that fast. But I will be having a watch party at my home here in Medina, Ohio.
Well, somebody has to live tweet.
Well, maybe. You know, since I have seen the first episode, I probably could do that. So let's put it this way. I'll try to be on Twitter during the show and try to keep up with it as best I can.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, thank you again for your time today, sir.
You're very welcome, Summer.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Slice of Sci-Fi.
Hey, you. Stop hiding behind that sofa. Come out from back there. Your sofa wants to talk to you. Wants to play footsie with your mind. Listen to it. Relax. Let it in. Starship Sofa. The first podcast ever to win a Hugo Award. With weekly stories from the world's best authors. Michael Moorcock, Peter Watts, Joe Haldeman, Peter F. Hamilton, and many, many, many more. With news and reviews and interviews. Bradbury, Pohl, Wolf, and Mieville, the sofas chewed the fat with them all. Facts and fictions, articles and particles. Oh, why aren't you listening? StarshipSofa.com. Your best science fictional fix this side of the coffee table.
Hey guys, this is Arjun Gupta from Sci-Fi's The Magician. You are listening to Slice of Sci-Fi.
Well, I for one am looking forward to seeing what the Black Lightning series on CW brings us in just a few weeks. I do want to apologize for there were some dropouts in some very, very inopportune places during Tony's interview. I don't know whether it was Skype or cell phone service. I'm not sure what it was, but they're just badly timed dropouts he was in the middle of saying some rather profound and enlightening things. Either way, I think it would be fun to have Tony back on the show later, because I feel that in our future there needs to be a monster movie discussion. It's absolutely imperative. The fact that I keep finding people who are huge monster movie fans who I never would have guessed, this means that monster movies are in my future, and I will have to follow up on those signs from the universe. But we have a new series coming up very soon. I think the season finale of both The Gifted and Superstition are coming up in a few weeks. We have, fortunately, next week, The Magicians returns to Sci-Fi, which means that The Expanse and 12 Monkeys cannot be too far behind. I'm really looking forward to, especially The Magicians and The Expanse. Those, I'm a sucker for space opera. I mean, look at Babylon 5. Tim and I deep dived on Babylon 5 for 7 years. The show was only on the air for 5. Yeah, my love of space opera is well known. And yeah, so yeah, The Expanse coming back. Joy! Gonna have to have a comic book and a TV discussion episodes coming up soon. We'll have to arrange that, but for now, that's all I got. If you have any questions or comments on Black Lightning or the CW DC Universe shows or any other comic book shows that you fancy, yes, I do not currently have access to Netflix, so I have not seen Iron Fist nor The Defenders. And I'm really getting antsy because we have Jessica Jones season 2 and Luke Cage season 2 in the works. I really don't want to fall too far behind on those. Well, where was I? Oh yeah, call. The number is 602-635-6976. Leave a voicemail message, ask a question, leave a comment. Join in the geek talk. Yeah, maybe you have a question. Maybe there's someone out there who you'd enjoy hearing an interview from. And I can do my best to arrange that for you. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through iTunes, through Stitcher, through TuneIn, and of course on Krypton Radio. If you listen on iTunes or on Stitcher, you can leave us a review. Leave a review for the show. Let people know that you're enjoying it and maybe they should check it out for themselves. You can check us out on Twitter. We're at Slice of Sci-Fi. We have a Facebook page that is being tended to caringly, lovingly again. We're Slice of Sci-Fi over at Facebook. And of course, we're Slice of Sci-Fi over at YouTube. And as always, we have the websites, sliceofscifi.com. We also have writersafterdark.com and popculturegeeks.com. And yeah, I know I've been saying it for a few months, but Writers After Dark, the podcast over there, will be getting underway very, very soon. We have a couple of interviews already done. I'm just still tweaking the music to my liking, and so we're going to explore storytelling and see where that goes. Comic book writers, screenwriters, playwrights, novelists, short stories, new media writers for web series, comic, online comics, you name it. I am open to chatting with them. So we'll see where that goes. I'd like to thank everyone for your support through Patreon. Your pledges do help keep things running around here. Patreon seems to have backed off their previous procedural changes, realizing that they were losing a lot of people, and that was a very, very bad idea. So Patreon is still up. In the meantime, I also do have a paypal.me link that will be on the website if you want to do one-time donations here and there. And as I said, every dime goes to support the show, the hosting for the websites, the media for the shows, all of it helps. All of it truly, truly helps. You have a lot of people out there who still support what's going on here, and I thank each and every one of you. I also want to throw a shout out to my good friends, the guys at Sci-Fried, the geek rock band closest to my heart. There was a snowstorm in the DC area this week that came out of nowhere and dropped temperatures into the single digits. I am not used to temperatures beginning with the number 1 having only 2 digits. I'm used to them having 3. So going outside and realizing, oh my God, 12 degrees feels like this, I have forgotten, was not in the cards. And the snow that kind of came out of nowhere messed up my plans to get to MAGFest to see them perform Thursday night. I think if they had performed Friday, it would have been better, but Thursday was a mess. Certain areas of the state of Maryland were deemed not drivable. So I will just have to take a trip to Florida and visit with the guys in their hometown of Orlando. So we'll see how that goes later this year. But if you want to give a listen to some other music that Sci-Fried performs, their new album, Hyperspaced, is out. You can go to their website, sci-fried.com, to check out all their albums. I think they have samples on Bandcamp as well. There's a link to their Bandcamp page from their website. Check it out. Very, very much well worth the effort. But that will do it for this episode. We will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.